see yourself whole, embracing the value of your person, your presence, and your purpose, seeing yourself from the inside out, seeing that you are enough. Look at somebody and say, baby, you're enough. Right on. All the men that had to do that to one another felt really awkward at that moment. Hey, baby. Man. Your divinity was within you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're a wonder. There's greatness within you. You were fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. You know, a doctor will not operate on you unless he trusts that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God and that everything he cuts is going to heal because God made it that way. Someone say, amen. Say, I was made that way. Right on. We want to talk about being liberated this morning and liberated through the resurrection. For the definition to liberate is to be liberated or liberating, to set at liberty or make free something or someone from the domination of an outside force. How many ever had that happen in your life before? Set free from domination from things outside of me. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. To be freed from negative traditional or social attitudes or roles. How many know some of you have a lot of predisposition to some negative things just because you were born? Every one of us are. But thank God through Jesus Christ, every one of those things were nailed to the cross with Jesus, and I am free by the blood of the Lamb. Say this with me. I am liberated because of what? Because of the resurrection. Give him praise for that. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. Here it is. I've examined this thing about the resurrection, and I'm intrigued by the idea that we focus so much on other parts of Jesus' life, and we have this amazing thing happen at Easter time, and we look at it, and then we kind of run away from it. And yet it's an incredible thing. What if a few little tweaks in your life could change your world? You know, tiny tweaks can make big changes. What if the difference could be from ordinary to extraordinary? What if you move from breakdown to breakthrough? Hallelujah. Right on. How about we win, learn, never lose? Never lose. And this is what I believe the power of the resurrection and intentional thinking about it, reflecting on it, confessing it. Someone say amen. And the Bible says, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave and you confess it with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, then you shall be saved. And I believe that Paul did this as a self-help tool for first century Christians that had to live every day with their lives in jeopardy simply because they believed. But he said to them, if you get up every day and you confess it with your mouth and you walk around in your heart with the impossible happening, that God raised him up from the grave, you will be saved. And we've been working our prayer cards for 50 days here, and we've had a 50-day challenge to let the resurrection power improve our lives. How many believe it can do that? How many believe it can be done? So we are being intentional about it. We're being intentional about it. So then let's pray that real quick. This is what's on the card. And if any of you need a card, just raise your hand. Chris or Gary, they'll get you a card from out in the lobby. If you need one, lift your hand up. But this go say it with me. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe intellectually, emotionally, and reasonably that God has raised him from the dead. I believe this fact will impact my life, causing me to think clearer, recover faster, and live liberated in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And everybody say, amen. And we are now at day 28, counting down, 28 days to full liberation. Today we're going to go into thoughts about facts about the resurrection, facts about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's stand on our feet and let's read a little bit of scripture. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's read John 11, 25 through 26. Ready? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whosoever lives by believing in me, what? Will never die. Do you believe this? Ask your neighbor that. Do you believe this? Everybody say, yes, I do. Let us declare the miracle of abundant life. Lord, I now relinquish all. And I choose the miracle. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated all around the room. Facts about the resurrection, the love of the Lord, the power of God, the wonder of the resurrection. It is the most powerful force in the universe. There's nothing greater right now than the grace of God and the love of God that culminated with a death, and that the outcome was this unimaginable thing, liberation from death forever. We are alive, and today the scripture is telling us we can take that same power that raised Christ from the grave and make an intentional decision to apply resurrection power to every part of our life, to our job, to our home, to our family, to things that we want to accomplish, to the way that we feel about ourselves and others. We can take the most powerful force in the universe and give ourselves a little bit of help today. Everybody say, get a little help today. We want to look at facts about the resurrection. That first of all, we want to look at the day that Jesus died and the weekend that he was raised from the grave. And I want to let you know that other saints were raised from the grave with him. And in Matthew 27, 50 through 53, it says this, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. Do you realize the Bible is a very concentrated book? In that you can get into a chapter of the Bible and find facts and thoughts and revelation that could take you through an entire year. That's how concentrated it is. And here in Matthew, all these things are happening when Jesus dies, and all of a sudden he gets excited. I can feel Matthew excited about giving a recitation to this and having someone write it down and write this down. And then when he was there, he cried out with a loud voice and he yielded out his spirit. And then behold, what happened next was the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Everybody says from top to bottom. That lets you know it was God, because it happened from the top to the bottom. And some preachers used to tell you, when I was a little boy hearing sermons about the veil of the temple being torn, he's saying, they're letting God out. They're setting God free. And now you and God could be one. It was torn from top to bottom. And then there was an earthquake, he said. And then the rocks were split. And then he even got more excited. And he moved 2 days later and went, and the graves were open. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised again. Someone say amen. How many remember I talked to you about Thomas and Thomas dealing with the resurrection, and how Thomas's problem with the resurrection was not whether the resurrection was possible. His problem was who raised Jesus up? Because in every other resurrection that he saw, there was always a person there. Wait, Elijah raised the little boy up, the widow woman that died. Then Elisha did the same thing, and he raised the little boy from the grave. And for a matter of fact, Elisha's bones, when he was buried, some enemy soldiers came along, and they had a dead soldier. And instead of burying him at the time, they threw him into Elisha's grave, and immediately the dead soldier's body came back to life again. Amen. Just awesome stories of the resurrection. And not only that, he saw Jesus raise people up. And he saw him do it with Lazarus. And so he did not intellectually have a problem with the idea that someone could come back to life again. But who's going to do it? Look at somebody and say, who's going to do it? And this is when God gets personal. What you don't understand is that your ancestors didn't see God altogether as personal. He didn't mean for them to seem so distant. He was a father that wanted to love them and cradle them and care for them. But there's just this gulf emotionally sometimes between the one that we need and the one who loves us. And so what Jesus basically did is he tore away that distant part of God, and he made God very personal and God very intimate. And Thomas struggles, said, wait a minute, if you know, I'm not there or someone else is not there, who raised Jesus from the grave? And he says, you want to know something? I'm not going to believe that he is alive unless I put my fingers in his hands and put my fingers in his side. And then Jesus showed up and said, here it is, Thomas, go for it. It's my body. Everybody say, it's my body. Everybody just touch your arms or your chest. This is the stuff that you're going to be resurrected with, right? Or if the rapture happens, when it happens, you're changing in the twinkling of an eye. This is the stuff. This is your DNA. Understand that we can remake you with one cell of your body. All the details of everything about you, your height, weight, everything you're going, your intellect, everything there is written in one cell of your body. So everything about you right now is beautiful and wonderful to God, and you're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, and this is what you got. So love it. Say, I love it. It'll live forever. So when Thomas touched him, he said, oh, wow, then God can do it. God can come personally to me and touch my life with no mediator but Jesus Christ himself. Someone say amen. Say, he is my personal father. How many feel his presence right now? Hallelujah. Right on. Then Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And he was the first one ever in scripture to refer to Jesus not only as the Lord, but as God himself. And what really was saying, my master is God. My friend is God. Wow. What a friend we have in Jesus, right? He's God. So all of a sudden, this personal intimacy with God happened because of the resurrection. Because God not only can do it, he did do it. Say it with me. God can and God will. In Jesus' name. Everybody say zombie apocalypse. Right on. Now, every legend has a seed of truth. And these notions about zombie that we see in science fiction, it was based on a seed of truth that happened in 30 AD when these bodies came out of the grave. So let's look at the prophecy. Everyone say the prophecy. In David prophesied in Psalms about Jesus and his death that you will not abandon my what? My soul, my intellect, my emotions, my feeling, my personality. You will not abandon me in the grave, and you will not allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. Someone say amen. So about 1,500 years before it happens, David's already talking about it in the prophecy. And he goes on to say, for in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and at his right hand is pleasure evermore, evermore. Everyone say amen. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So in the presence of the Lord, I'm strong. Right on. He's here right now just because you believe. Isaiah 26:19 says your dead shall live. Their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew is the dew of the light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. Someone say amen. Every time you pray, you've got to think about this impossibility that God has done in your life. And he's saying every day, if you intentionally remember and say it, God raised him from the grave. And if God can raise him from the grave, he can help me figure this out. I'm going to figure this out. Are you serious? Really? I'm going to give up when God has raised him from the grave, when he made himself vulnerable, went to the grave filled with faith that, you know, if I let myself die, think about that. He could have gotten out of it. He even told them, Peter, I can call 10,000 angels and stop this whole thing. I've got this whole power. I have more power than the Roman Empire itself. I can rule this world the way I want to right now. If that were God's will, But it is not God's will, so I'm going to lay my life down so that not only this life is taken care of, but the afterlife is taken care of. And now you've got an answer from now into eternity. Someone say amen for answers. And Jesus did it, and he suffered without any assurance except for God's word. That's the only assurance he went. He was not a weak link. He had to surrender himself. Imagine. The psyching up you have to do, the dulling down you have to do. You know how you get ready to take on something really tough? Right. Imagine that. I'm going to have to do this, man. I've got to believe that. When my mom said I was a Messiah, I've got to believe it. I've got to believe when others said, you know what, this is what happened when you were born. I've got to believe it. What do you need to believe about your life this morning that's going to get you from point A to point B in God's will? Jesus had to believe it too, and he had to go in the garden and say, you know what, I believe it. Not my will, thy will. I believe that my mother gave birth to me through the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that you have put me on this earth for a special purpose, just like every one of you teenagers in the room and all of us, we're put on this earth for a special purpose. I believe it. I value that. And now if you say, this is what believing in who I am and who you made me to be requires, then I'm going. Here we go. And he went and he died. Believing that while he was in the grave with all of his mysteries, unknowns, and impossibilities, that God would show up at the point of his faith. Hallelujah. Some of you this morning are right at the place where God is about to show up at the point of your faith. Your faith is bringing God's hand closer to you because it's your will and God's will merging together. It may be on the school you're going to. It may be on the idea that you're coming up. It may be on who you're going to marry, where you're going, and what you're thinking about, or a breakthrough emotionally for yourself. You and God are right on the brink because your faith said, this is what I'm going to do. I might not feel like it, but I believe God raised him from the grave. And because of that, I will overcome this situation. The prophecy said that he would live again. And Daniel, he promised Daniel, he told Daniel, you know what? One day, Daniel, after these great prophecies that Daniel had about, Daniel actually prophesied and got direct information from Gabriel the angel. How many know who Gabriel the angel is? Right on. Okay, everybody has a God. This is what I believe. You can take me on it, but I think it's kind of cool. I believe that Gabriel was Jesus' guardian angel. And the reality is that if that's true, then 490 years before Jesus is born, Gabriel shows up in the nation of Babylon and begins to fill Daniel in on details of when Jesus would be born. And he even mapped out four kingdoms that will happen in the kingdom Rome where Jesus would be born in. And not only that, he gave him other intel too, and intel about the resurrection. And at the end of his discussion with Daniel, he said to Daniel, Daniel, go your way, because in the last days, everybody say in the last days, in those last days, you and yours are going to come back alive again. And then, everybody say, it happened. Matthew said it happened. What God promised Daniel, God showed in Psalms and in Isaiah, it happened. Those resurrected people came back to life. Everyone say, new body. Renewed body. That's better put, renewed body. So the grave is defeated. Jesus is the resurrection and life, and whoever believes in him will live even if he dies. We did the funeral last week, and we're reminded again, because, you know, at funerals, everybody, we are equal opportunity believers then. You need eternity when you're at a funeral. You need to know that the dead will come back to life again because you love those who have gone on. Someone say, amen. I need heaven to fix whatever earth could not fix. Amen. So we are so grateful for so many reasons that God brought Jesus back to life again, and he is alive today. Everybody say, that's a fact, Jack. That's a fact, Jack. The apocalypse did happen. Matthew said it. Here's another fact for you. The fact is, you have friends in high places. Look at your neighbor and say, I have friends in high places. Gee, since because this zombie apocalypse happened and these people have bodies, physical bodies. The Bible also says that these physical bodies appeared to people and encouraged many. Wow. So all these legends about zombies, that's where it came from, the Bible. That's where it started, the Bible. And you know how stories morph over time, right? Yeah. You know, it was a chicken, but before you know it, it was a pterodactyl. Yeah. You give it a few generations, and boy, do facts just expand. But the reality is that we have people in heaven with physical bodies with Jesus. Wrap your head around that. Wrap around it. Pinch yourself. Right. Guys like that can pinch themselves and feel it. They're in heaven around the throne, and they care about you. They are all about you. For the Bible says, when you have someone you, oh, not the Bible, but this is a saying, when you have someone you love in heaven, you have a little bit of heaven in your home and in your life. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded, say, we're surrounded. We're surrounded. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw away everything that hinders us, every sin that easily besets us, and let us go out and run the race with endurance at the mark or the race that God has set up for us, having our faces set toward Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Even though he faced death itself and the contradictions of humanity, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And so because of that, you have the power to face any opposition in your life and say, you know what? God's will be done in my life. I can do this because Jesus is alive. And these other saints are there encouraging you this morning. Everybody say this. How about say this? Great cloud. Go. Great cloud of heaven. I'm telling you, that's a great cloud. See, heaven's not for good people. Heaven's for forgiven people. Right on. So stop asking whether people went to heaven or not. They went to Jesus. And it's Jesus' decision to forgive. It's your job to live. Live it, and Jesus will do the rest. I don't know, except for I know in the afterlife, everybody sees Jesus. And that's a good thing. So heaven's not for good people. Heaven is for forgiven people. And some may be good and some maybe not so good. It depends on what standard of good you have. But let me remind you about good. Reason that we're in this mess of human rationalizing and judging anyway is because of the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. As if we were all qualified to judge. That's all I was telling you. Tree of knowledge, good and evil is you trying to reason out everything without the reality of God. So Paul brings us back, says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus, the Son of God, and you believe in your heart that God rose and brought him to life again, even though you didn't see it, you will be saved. It is a possibility. Amen. So in heaven, you have two kinds of people. Everybody say two kinds of people. Two kinds of people in heaven. You have people with bodies and people without bodies. Say it with me, people with bodies and people without bodies. Now, in the Hebrews, it says these people with bodies are called something called the General Assembly of the Church. Everyone say the church. Or the ecclesia, or the gathering of the firstborn. They're the first ones to receive their bodies. The one thing you want to have forever. Your physical bodies, enjoying your eternal soul and your eternal spirit. So the church of the firstborn, Daniel, Isaiah, Ruth, Boaz, all these ancient people who have physical bodies are screaming to you from heaven that Jesus is alive and he wants you to pursue your purpose in him, in his name. Go for it in Jesus' name. Give somebody a high five and encourage them. Say, go for it in Jesus' name. Go for that in Jesus' name. But then there's this second group, which I love so much because I know so many of them, and it's spirits. Everyone say spirits. Say it again, spirits. Everyone say spirits. Spirits of just men made perfect. Just people made perfect. Everyone say justified. The Bible says you are justified not because of the good works you have done, but because of the grace of Jesus who died for you. And a quick way for everyone to understand what justification and righteousness is, just as if I didn't sin. Say it. Just as if I didn't sin. Justified. It's the way the Lord sees you this morning. He's not about where you've been. He's about where you're going. He's about what he set out for you in the beginning. That's why you can mess up an entire season of your life, and then God will scrap that thing and say, hey, it's okay. You back with me? Yeah. You want to know something? Adam, God didn't add Adam what he did. He asked him where he was. And when you go through something in life, what heaven is really asking, where's your head at? Can you work through this? Can we get through this? Can we get going again, please? Can we move on from this? Amen. Right on, man. How many times have you had to do that? I have to move on from this. And so heaven is filled with those people that are justified, who knew they were not perfect, who knew that they had flaws, who knew they may have had a bad thought right at the moment they died. How many used to believe that if you're a kid? Coming home from church, what if I have a bad thought and I have a car accident and die? Will I go to hell? Wow, it's that easy to lose your eternal life. Jesus did all that suffering to give you eternal life, and you have one weak moment, and it's canceled. What are you, American Express? One missed payment or late payment or, right? So you're laughing because you knew you thought that sometime. What if the rapture? You would come home sometime and not find your mom there and think the rapture happened and you got left behind. Oh, mama, mama. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Child, why are you on the floor praying? Oh, you're still here. That's okay. I can go back being wicked again. All right. I got a little more time. Everyone say justified. Just as if I had never sinned. That's how powerful his blood is. God's not where you've been. He's where you're going. And he's moving you forward toward it. It's your decision whether you're going to join him in your purpose this morning. The Bible says this on Mount Zion. We have not come to a terrifying mountain where people are afraid to approach God. God's personal right now. He loves me right now. He's always loved me, but I've come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. He's given you a metaphor. Jerusalem means the city of peace. Everyone say, I've got peace. Somebody say, I'm at peace. Somebody say, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So if Jesus is the Prince, peace must be a place, and it must be a place I gotta go. Amen. Right on. I am at peace. Where you at, John? Just put in your GPS, peace. City of peace. That's where you'll find me. Good, bad, and ugly. I'm at peace. He says, so we've come to the city of peace, a place called peace. We've come to an innumerable company of angels and the general assembly of the firstborn. Everybody say, I've got angels. Jesus had an angel. Gabriel showed up, set out the details of his life. Then when Jesus was supposed to be born, told Mary, he's got to be born. I've got a job to do. Everybody say, angels got a job to do. Your angel's got a job to do too. Then Gabriel got busy and went and saw Mary. Then he got busy and he talked to Joseph. Then he ran ahead of them to Bethlehem. Then he went and told shepherds, something's happening in Bethlehem. Pay attention. Because he was so excited over 490 years of work, the last thing he was going to have is to put out the announcement that the Messiah had been born and no one was going to show up. Somebody's going to show up. You may be short-sighted, and the wise men may show up 18 months later, and you donkeys might not get it. But somebody's showing up this morning because this is the truth, and the truth's going to set everybody free. Someone say, amen! Somebody say, I've got angels. The Bible says, are not your angels spirits that are designed to facilitate your salvation? Now, I want you to think about what you got to do tomorrow. And I want you to think about the angels that are assigned to help you with that. Even Jesus said, these angels are assigned lest he dash his foot against a stone and just hurt himself. They're there to help out. And if they mess up and he still gets hurt, they'll still help him out and fix it. They'll help him go get a Band-Aid. How many still here? Right on. You have friends in high places because of the resurrection. And this general church of the firstborn, Daniel and all those guys, these are the people with bodies. Then those who are registered in heaven, the judge of all, God himself, and the spirit of just people, my dad and my mom, they're there with Jesus the mediator. My mom cares about me this morning. For a matter of fact, of all, you know, and my, I have a sister in heaven now. She cares about me this morning. And they all show up to church with me with Jesus. Amen. Because you know what? We want Johnny to be successful. We want Johnny to see God's best. We want Johnny. And you know what? Our redemption is not complete unless things work out for Johnny. We have the blood of the Lamb there. We have forgiven people in heaven. So know that you are forgiven. And what are they doing? They're watching out for you. They are looking out for you. For this is what Hebrews said. They were all commended for the faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for them. For us, that is, only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, let me say that again. Only together with us. Everybody say, only together with us. So Daniel and your parents and those who love you, they're in the great cloud of witnesses encouraging you. Because you're important to God. And only together with you will the thing be complete. So even though they've got their physical bodies, how many are getting that? They've got physical bodies. It should be all done. They can go on vacation. No, they went into heaven and got to work. So that today you have a better world than you had 2,000 years ago, let the church say. And one day when the rapture happens, when the final resurrection, everyone say the final resurrection. Well, that resurrection, the God promised, could happen with many of you alive. And if it were to happen today, the Bible says that the dead in Christ would rise first. So my daddy's body will come out of the grave. Your mom's body will come out of the grave. Those you've gone on to be with the Lord, their bodies would come up no matter what it was before. It will be glorified. But then he says, then the rest of you will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. Say, change. Whoa. And you shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Where? In the air. And for together you will be with the Lord. You will be with one another for the first time. And you know what the rapture really is? How many have heard of the rapture before? Lift your hand up. Just lift your hand up. You heard of it? You know what it really is? It's really a call to worship. And that call to worship will be the first time all of you redeemed humanity will have physical bodies to join their eternal spirits and soul that will never, ever die again. A phenomenon, an unbelievable thing. But this morning you can believe it because Thomas believed it in his generation. And you can believe it in yours. And the Bible says you get a double blessing because you believe and you have not seen. Look at somebody, give them a high five, say, double blessing, baby. Double blessing. But until then, Paul says, let the same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave live in you, empowering you to do the good and acceptable will of our Father in heaven, and keep going, because you've got friends in high places, and the zombie apocalypse was true, amen. It's a fact. And God is good all the time, and all the time. Let's stand on our feet this morning, full of faith. Say, I'm full of faith. Full of faith. You hear all that crazy stuff that pastor said? I only understood a tenth of it. What's wrong with that man? What does he think about on a daily basis? You have no idea. It's sad to be me sometimes. But God is good. How many have been reciting the prayer every morning? Amen. You've been doing it? You've been going for it. Missing the morning, during the afternoon. If you need a card, they'll be available. Let's pray the prayer together again. Ready? I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe intellectually, emotionally, and reasonably that God has raised him from the dead. I believe this fact will impact my life, causing me to think clearer, recover faster, and live liberated in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So how many more days you got? 28 more days. Let's stretch out our hands. Well, welcome to a new stretch of Sabbath with no snow. Repeat after me, I believe. God created the heavens and the earth. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life. I believe Jesus made a decision out of love and obedience. He went to the cross and died for all humanity. I believe that on the third day, the Father God brought him back to life again. I believe that same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave lives in me, empowering me to do the good, acceptable, and perfect will of my Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.